Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Are you following the case of the mom in South Carolina arrested last week for leaving her 9-year-old daughter alone in a city park while she worked her shift at McDonald's?
Public safety investigators say 46-year-old Deborah Harrell confessed to leaving her 9-year-old daughter alone in the park for several hours while she went to work.
You cannot just leave your child alone at a public place, especially. This day and time, you never know who's around.
That was one typical report, typical of those that have been all over the evening news around the country. That was from the local station in the South Carolina area, WJBF. And the case, of course, caught the attention of my next guest, Lenore Skenazy, the author of the book and blog Free Range Kids. She wrote a column for Reason.com defending the mom and bemoaning the level of fear that we seem to have of leaving kids unsupervised on front lawns or subways or public parks. She even notes a new study that links so-called helicopter parenting to child obesity. Welcome back, Lenore Skenazy.
Thank you, Brian. Yes, that certainly caught my attention.
Before we get to the South Carolina case, childhood obesity isn't about high fructose corn syrup, but parents being afraid to let their kids go outside and play unsupervised?
Let me be the first to say that I actually don't know exactly what causes childhood obesity. How do you like that? But I always suspected that it had something to do with the fact that we don't allow kids to walk to school anymore, to play outside. We think that they're so likely to be abducted, like that woman on the street that we just heard in that news report, that we are keeping them very close inside. And then finally, somebody actually did a study instead of just musing like me. And this study was done in Australia, but it found a correlation between overprotection and overweight kids. It was a 13% increase in odds of a kid being overweight if they are what the researchers considered overprotected. And that was the piece that I wrote in the Weekly Wonk.
Listeners, where's the line for you between endangerment, like leaving kids alone in a hot car, and what could be...
We can talk about that, too.
Okay, we'll get to that.
And, not a hot car, but a car.
And what could be empowerment, like letting them walk to school or play in the park? Do your kids have a place to play outside this summer, unsupervised, depending on the age? And would you call the police if you noticed a 9-year-old playing in the park without supervision?
God forbid.
212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So tell us more about the circumstances around the arrest last week of this woman in South Carolina.
Right, Deborah Harrell. She works at McDonald's. She has a 9-year-old daughter, and for the beginning of the summer, the 9-year-old would come with her to McDonald's and play on a laptop that they had because McDonald's has free Wi-Fi.
Speaking of childhood obesity.
Yes, right. I was also going to say that's sort of the last great press that McDonald's is going to get in this story because they have since fired the mom. But in any event, at some point, the Harrell's apartment was broken into, the laptop was stolen, and then the girl didn't have anything to do when she was at McDonald's all day. So she asked her mother, "Mom, instead of me sitting there, could I please go play in the park? Drop me off at the park." And this park, when I listened to the news story the first time, it said this mom confessed that she abandoned her child for hours at a time at a park, and there was a horrible mugshot, and I just thought, oh, well, that doesn't sound so good if you're abandoning your child. But when I found out the truth behind it, which is that the child asked to be at it, and then I Googled the park, which is this extremely popular park with sprinklers and a breakfast program, a lunch program. At any given time, there's up to 100 kids in the park. And so to say that that's abandoned and to say that the mother was wrong, some busybody saw the kid day one, day two. By day three, she said, "Where is your mother?" And the girl said, "She's working," and that was enough. That was enough for the lady to call 911. And what disturbs me most about this is that the mom was arrested. The child was taken away. I just found out that, do you know how long the child was taken away for?
How long?
17 days.
You mean they removed the child from the mother's custody?
They put the mom in jail. That was one night. Okay, mom spends a night in jail for letting her child have the kind of childhood we had.
Was that all she did?
That was all she did. Yeah, no, she wasn't selling crack on the side. It was letting her kid play. By the way, she had a cell phone. The girl had a cell phone. And this was not abandonment. This is called trusting your child, trusting your community, trusting your own parenting that you've taught your kid not to go off with a stranger.
Not having money, working as a mom at McDonald's wages for paid daycare.
Yeah, apparently she made $9 an hour. In any event, so the child was taken away. The mother was thrown in jail. And what was this all based on? This was based on somebody saying, what if the child was snatched? And this is what is disturbing me the most about government intervention, I guess, into parenting is what I would call it, is arresting parents because something could have gone wrong. But, you know, something could have gone wrong in McDonald's. There could have been, a guy comes in with a shotgun or something. I mean, to arrest somebody because something could go wrong allows you to arrest anybody under any circumstances.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio with Lenore Skenazy, author of Free Range Kids, as we talk about childhood obesity and being watched too closely, and this case that's making waves of the mother in South Carolina. Liz and Darianne, you're on WNYC with Lenore Skenazy. Hi, Liz.
I do not disagree with any of Lenore Skenazy's points at all about kids need to be able to get out there and free range and empower themselves and build skills. But
I was waiting for the but. But what? But I want
to
kill her.
I also think that unless you live in a city or in some kind of ideal suburb, it becomes practically impossible to allow your kids to do that. My son can't walk to school. It's it's 5 miles away.
Oh, wow.
He can't ride a bike because the roads they don't even have a shoulder. And people who are, you know, hardcore cyclists around here regularly get creamed by cars.
Mm.
You know, and even if I were to allow him to go somewhere, which I would love to do because I free-ranged quite a bit as a kid, and I know the kind of skills I got as a result, there's nowhere for him to go.
Well,
you know, there's no parks, and he's in middle school, and they don't want to go hang out in a playground. And it's very, you know, I'm not afraid. We live in the woods. I'm not afraid to let him play in the woods. I'm not afraid to let him play in the yard.
So that is free ranging. You are free ranging.
Well,
him.
I am, but
ticks,
I'm not.
Liz,
it's,
ticks, Liz. Ticks.
Within my own little yard.
Don't forget,
you know,
the axe murderers.
But so I think that as parents, a lot of us are really hampered by just the logistics of what American suburbs are set up like.
I totally agree that sometimes it's an issue of city planning. There's so many suburbs, like where my brother-in-law lives in the outskirts of Chicago, where it's just one giant access road, and then off it are these tiny little, what they call lollipop cul-de-sacs, and you either are stuck on your boring little cul-de-sac, which you quickly outgrow, or you have to cross 6 lanes of traffic. I agree that we should be doing something better in terms of thinking about pedestrians and not just kids. What about old people? What about, you know, people who want to get around without a car? I think that makes you're making a good point.
Liz, thank you for your call. You said before that this mom was arrested for doing what we did as kids.
Right.
Were we really so free range before? You know, Jane Jacobs writing about cities back in the 1960s.
Oh, I can tell I'm at WNYC because Jane Jacobs is
got
being
mentioned.
Quoted at me.
And even, I think, Irma Bombeck writing about the suburbs talk about the eyes on the kids with more moms working at home then. So were kids as unsupervised as we remember?
I believe they were. I mean, my mom was at home. She was a stay-at-home mom. Back then, guess what? The stay-at-home mom stayed at home. She wasn't at the window with a pair of binoculars looking out, seeing what everybody was doing and background checking the other neighbors and calling me and texting me. You know, the fact is, actually, at this point, I'd say that girl at the park was better supervised than I was as a child because she did have a phone. If she had some problem or a question, she could call her mom.
And you note that crime rates are actually much higher in the 60s and 70s before this trend started. What changed? Was it the milk cartons?
The milk cartons had a lot to do with it. The Have You Seen Me children's pictures on the sides of milk cartons put there by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in the 80s without them ever explaining that the vast majority of these children were runaways or taken in a custody dispute. It made it feel like children were being snatched from the street right and left. And in fact, that wasn't the case. That isn't the case, thank God. And when you talk about the crime rate, not that statistics have ever swayed any human being in the history of the world, or at least only 0.0003%. But the crime rate today is back to what it was in 1963. And that's when gas was 29 cents a gallon, and it was before color television.
I read an op-ed by somebody recently saying He'd rather his kids not have to look at the scare stories on the back of the cereal boxes and on the milk cartons about this one got abducted or there's this tragedy going on there. He says better that they be able to play a puzzle on the back of the cereal box when they're eating breakfast at 7:30 in the morning.
I never heard of a cereal box with a tragedy on the back of it, unless you go back to childhood obesity. But the point of the matter is that our children today are no less safe than we were when we were given all this freedom. And sometimes people say to me, oh, the only reason the crime is down is because we are locking the doors and keeping them inside. But crime is down against women, men, cars, houses, and I think pets. So crime is just down across the board. It's a sad fact we have to accept. It's not the crime rate that's keeping us scared.
Tim in Rockland, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Lou. Ms. Ganassi, this is a topic I'm really interested in. Two points. I was a free-range kid in Rockland County. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. We left the house at 7 in the morning, got home at 7:30 at night.
Streetlights came on.
And there was never an issue. And I raised my children in Rockland County the same way. You know, it's what we've done. Anyway, that's one thing. The question I have, Ms. Ganassi, this case in South Carolina, I did a lot of reading about this, and I looked it up quick. It seems to be that there was a racial overtone to this. The woman who left her child in the park, or whose child went to the park, was black. The woman who reported her, I believe, was Lisa Lampanella, something, LL, was white. Do you think that had something to do with this whole mess?
You know, I actually have no idea. That would be just total conjecture on my point. And she's not the only person who's been arrested for letting her kid play outside. I mean, at Free Range Kids, my website, people write to me when this has happened to them. I've had a woman write to me, the police came to her house because somebody reported her children were playing in the rain. I had a guy in Pittsburgh whose children, he left them in a park for 2 hours and he ran some errands. And it is so unusual to see children unsupervised anywhere, God forbid playing on the play equipment that is, you know, empty across America, that people called in, called 911. And I think there's so many problems. One is that we think that if a child is unattended or unsupervised, they are automatically at risk of being snatched. People really believe. I heard once from a lady who was sitting on her lawn reading a book while her kids were playing in front of her on the lawn. And another lady walked by and yelled at her. She said, "Put down that book. Don't you realize your children could be snatched at any minute?" So even putting her eyes on the page rather than her frolicking children was seen as negligent. So when you have the belief that any time a kid is outside in the world without their parent literally or electronically watching them the whole time, that they're in danger, and the police believe that and the courts believe that, then you start getting this weird thing where a child outside is considered to be somebody who was neglected as opposed to somebody who's having a nice summer day.
There are listeners pushing back against what you're saying. Karen writes,
always are.
Karen writes on our website, our son wasn't allowed outside of our West Side apartment alone until age 11. He is 25 and not obese.
I didn't say they're all going to be obese.
And Bob in Rego Park, too. I think, Bob, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Right. You continue to do an amazing job. What I like to say is this. You know, I like to push back and say specifically, this is not what the young lady is saying. I'll just give you an example. A child in the front yard has been stolen, has been raped, has been murdered. So when this young lady talks about you should put the book down, parents leave their kids in the front yard. I see 9-year-old children walking their 6-year-old child on the street with no supervision. This is a very serious issue. Yes, if it never happened to you, great. But if your child is raped and murdered, they must be supervised. And I wish this young lady would talk about reality and not just specific how everything is great.
I would never suggest that there's no crime in the world and that there's some way that a child could be perfectly safe outside or inside. But what our society has started to do reflexively is what I call worst first thinking, which is coming up with the very worst case scenario first, a child snatched from a front lawn, coming up with the worst case scenario first and proceeding as if it's likely to happen. And if you did this in
it
all aspects
happened.
It has happened, but It's weird, but if you started thinking this way about everything, you couldn't have stairs in your house because some children fall downstairs. You couldn't have, you couldn't
extremely
not puree
cautious.
Your food. You would have
extremely
to have,
cautious.
Well, you could be, I mean, even if you're being extremely cautious, unfortunately at my site, I also hear stories about parents who were extremely cautious who were watching their children every second and then the child chokes on a penny. I mean, it's just, there are always going to be examples, extremely sad and tragic examples of bad things happening to kids, especially in a country of 300 million people. But if you see them every day on the news, which we do, and then you see them reiterated on Law and Order and Dexter or whatever, it starts feeling 24/7 you're seeing these horrible stories, and it feels like 24/7 that's reality. That's television, and it's television looking far and wide to find the very worst stories to keep you glued to the TV.
Megan and Rumson, you're on WNYC. Hi, Megan.
Hi, I'm so happy to be on. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a working mother of three, and I love this conversation. I have two boys who are 7 and 10 and a baby girl, and I think promoting independence is one of the most important things I can do for them. And we've just started to leave our 10-year-old home alone from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, one thing you guys haven't mentioned is, when is it actually legal to do that? Is he allowed to ride his bike to school? What does the law say? Is it different in different states? And you know, when no one really talks about that, I don't think.
That's a great point. And I'm a little fuzzy on it, too, because it is so different. It's different in all the states, and it's different sometimes within a community within the state. There's only two states that I know of that have actual hard deadlines for how old a kid has to be before you can leave them home alone. And in Illinois, which is actually where I'm from, I can't remember, but it was something very high. It was 13 or 14. And in Maryland, it was 8. But most places, what they say is you can't leave a child in circumstances that are present a danger to the kid. And that's when I start worrying about this what-if thinking or this worst-first thinking. If you think that, I think that letting my, say, 8-year-old stay home and watch Harry Potter for, you know, while I go out to a rummage sale is not the end of the world. But if somebody else calls up and says she abandoned her child at her house and anything could happen, what if there's a burglar? What if the place goes up in flames? Then if you have a cop and a prosecutor and a judge or a jury who all also believe, like our caller just did, that any time a child isn't attended, they could very easily end up dead, then you're screwed. That's why I'm trying to sort of spread this whole word that our kids are not in constant danger. That actually is my whole message. We just have to remember our kids are not in constant danger. We happen to be living in the safest times in human history.
Megan, thank you for your call. So how high or low do you go on the age range here? If that same kid in South Carolina was left with a cell phone in the park to play while her mother worked at McDonald's,
yes.
If she was 9, if she was 8, if she was 7, if she was 6?
I never give an actual age because, of course, all kids are different and also all the laws are different. But what I do say to parents who are trying to figure this out for themselves is two things. One is, around the rest of the world, 7 is the age that children are automatically walking or taking regular municipal bus to school. That's from Switzerland to Swaziland. It's just the normal age. But the other thing I do is I say, since, as I keep harping, the crime rate is lower now than when you were growing up. Well, perhaps not you, Brian, but
me and you.
Yeah, all right. Now you know. I don't think I kept calling you a young lady. Anyway, since the crime rate today is as low as it was, lower than when most of today's parents were growing
up. In fact, since the crime rate has been going down for
50 years.
It's almost when anybody was anybody was growing up.
All right, good. That gets us all off the hook. My point being that if you were allowed to walk to school or to play on the front lawn or to go to the park and you didn't think your parents were crazy, negligent nut jobs, then I think that you could give your children the same freedom that you really appreciated. Most people, when they're talking about their childhoods and they're thinking back on the things they loved doing, they weren't right next to their parents when they did them. And why can't we give that back to our own children?
And how about at the high end? Do you get into...
I don't get into the high
end. Teenagers
oh, no,
and curfews no, and no, all of that?
No, thank you. I actually don't. I have teenagers at home. I can't figure it out.
There's another show. And you wanted to come back to Cars, which I mentioned is just an offhand reference.
Oh, I do want to talk about Cars for a quick second, because there's also a belief now, just like that any child, quote-unquote, unattended in a park is going to be automatically snatched. There's this bizarre belief that children are in danger during the course of an errand when you leave them in the car, because you've made a rational decision based on the amount of time you think you're going to take, based on the weather, based on your kid, based on the circumstances, to let your kid wait in the car. Everybody always says leave, so it sounds like they're just like left them there. But to let your child wait in the car while you run an errand. I was just in Dallas, and there were all these highway signs flashing, never leave a child in a car. But children, I hate talking about when children die, but when they do die in cars, which is about 40 kids a year, the vast, vast, vast majority are forgotten there the entire day by somebody who was, usually it was like, more normally the mom drops the kid off at daycare. Today she was going out of town. The father was in charge of it. The baby falls asleep in the back seat. He forgets that the kid is there because they're not making a peep. He goes on automatic pilot to work. He parks the car, forgets the child. And that's a tragedy. But that is completely different from me saying, oh, my God, I don't want to take the triplets across the parking lot to pick up the pizza. I'm going to let them sit here, or I'm going to let my 7-year-old. There was a woman just arrested in, Rochester. Yesterday or the day before, who let her 7-year-old wait in the car with the windows down, and she was arrested for negligence. This is not negligence. This is making a rational decision as opposed to what if. What if they died? What if someone stole them? What if they were carjacked? What if they died of hyperthermia in the course of 5 minutes? They won't. Why are we arresting people for making rational decisions about the children they love?
James in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the car thing, was that my mother explained to me at some point that she would always keep an eye on us outside of the house. I'm sorry, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. She would keep an eye on us outside the house. But if we wanted to play in the car, she would let us play in the car, and then she didn't worry about us. And then she wouldn't check on us as much because we were inside the car outside the front of the house.
Just keep it in low gear.
You know, so, I mean, it's all relative. And I just also wonder if you can start questioning overprotective parents on the street about how they're raising their children, you know?
Well, I don't want to question any parent, because I feel like, first of all, when you've gotten all these messages coming at you that your children will be snatched, your children die all the time, I'm not surprised that they end up feeling very nervous and like their children are constantly threatened. But also, I never present myself as a parenting expert, because, like I just said, I don't have those answers. All I'm interested in and all I'm appalled by is the fear that gets shoved down our throats every day by the media, and then it gets absorbed into the justice system, and then we are being governed by complete irrationality, the idea that our children are going to die during the time that we get the ibuprofen. It's not going to happen.
And I think we're being bombarded by both sides. As somebody who receives pitches, you know, from those who want to come on and warn about parenting in the 21st century, we get them from people who say there's too much helicopter parenting, and we get them from people who say there's too much neglectful parenting. And it's like,
well, the other thing is, I mean,
maybe we're living in an age of extremes. I don't know.
No, because in that case, it's a false dichotomy. I mean, the opposite of helicopter parenting isn't neglect. The opposite of helicopter parenting is what I'm talking about here now, which is trusting your kid to a certain extent, trusting your community, and giving your children the same opportunities, independence, and trust that you appreciated as a kid. It's not leaving them in an abandoned apartment with crack vials on the ground and nothing in the fridge.
I just want to get one more comment on about the South Carolina story, where the worker at McDonald's left her 9-year-old in a park to play while she was at work. From Anita in Manhattan. Anita?
Hi. Yeah, I really appreciate the conversation as a parent, and I have twin sons. I live here in New York, but I grew up in Seattle, where we had all kinds of time outside. But I was really disturbed to hear about the story with the mother who was fired from McDonald's. I just think, you know, shame on McDonald's, because the mother is making a rational decision. It's not like she was left, you know, in a car and the air was shut off or something like that. So I'm...
Yeah, why'd she get fired?
That I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know that part of the story. All right. Maybe she gave somebody nuggets instead of fries. Anita, thank you for your call. And Lenore Scanese, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
For helping to lead this conversation about free-range kids, which is the title of your book. And where can people read your current stuff?
Oh, my gosh. It's also Free Range Kids is the blog. Free Range Kids is the Twitter feed. And guess what? Free Range Kids is the book.
Thanks a lot.